May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. When the days drew near for Jesus to be taken up, he set his face to go to Jerusalem. That one sentence which opens our gospel reading for today carries a heavy load of meaning that I think will be important for understanding the responses that Jesus makes to those who would follow him. Responses that may seem challenging at best and even harsh for those who have sensitive ears. The language of being taken up has multiple layers of meaning here. Jesus will be taken up, caught up, in a politically charged situation in Jerusalem where he will be handed over for trial and conviction. And Jesus will consequently be taken up on the cross, executed for facing down powerful systems of religious, political, and military power. Jesus will be risen up as an effective sign of the triumph of life and love and freedom over those powers of oppression and death. And Jesus will ultimately be taken up, gathered back into the fullness of Trinitarian life with the Father and the Holy Spirit at his ascension, bringing with him our humanity into the fullness of that Trinitarian life. So all of that meaning packed into the first half of that first sentence, and then we hear, and he set his face to Jerusalem. In Luke's gospel, when Jesus sets his face to go to Jerusalem, that marks a significant turn in the story. With this turn, Luke introduces a long section that follows Jesus as he travels towards his destiny in Jerusalem. The scholars call this section of the gospel the travel narrative, in which we follow Jesus along the way as he teaches and prepares his disciples for ministry. And we are going to be on the road with Jesus through much of the season after Pentecost. Between now and All Saints, Jesus will be teaching us about what it takes to be a disciple. He'll tell us stories to illustrate the challenges of living according to the way of love that he calls us to walk alongside him. He will teach us how to pray for God's kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. He will teach us how to see the needs of those around us. And his teaching will include illustrations of the blessings of helping those others and the consequences of failing to do so. Along the way to Jerusalem, as we walk with Jesus, this is part of our faith development. And sometimes the journey may compel us to make some difficult choices. Today we begin our journey with Jesus along the way to Jerusalem with a set of choices that any followers of Jesus may encounter in our lifetimes. First up is the choice of how to respond to rejection, even from those on the other side, those Samaritans who would not receive Jesus. And in this scene, in which the Samaritans reject Jesus because of his political activity, and that's the way the Samaritans interpreted his going to Jerusalem, it's just so on point today. James and John were ready to call down fire on the Samaritans in much the same way that politicians and pundits and even some of us are wont to do. We're told rather succinctly that Jesus turned and rebuked them, and I think we would do well to read a lesson there for ourselves as well. We are reminded, after all, again and again in the Gospels, that our Savior follows the way of love. He doesn't compel or punish, but rather invites us to walk with him, loving mercy, seeking justice, always. And so the second part of our gospel story offers a series of encounters that illustrate these choices that come from the commitment and depth of faith that are required for this walk with Jesus. Three would-be disciples offer responses that seem reasonable enough to us on the surface, I think. But Jesus demands that each of them look deeper into their hearts and to take the call to follow him more seriously. First up is the eager beaver who's ready to jump in with both feet. "I'll go wherever you want me to go. I'll follow you." Now, this isn't an unreasonable response, but Jesus wants to be sure that this person understands what he's jumping into. Because, you know, those who choose to follow the way with our whole hearts and minds and our strength may find ourselves out in the open without cover, either physically or culturally. Now, unless you're called to be a missionary or an itinerant preacher, it's most likely to be a cultural homelessness that most followers of Jesus will experience. Gospel values and service are not always in sync with cultural values, and following the way may very well put us at odds with the priorities of common sense. You know, common sense tells us we take care of our own first. Prioritize the needs of those who are closest to us, the ones we recognize as ours, right? The trouble with that is that some of us may prefer to use our obligations as a way to put off following Jesus with our whole hearts. It's jarring to hear Jesus say, "Let the dead bury the dead." And no one who looks back is fit for the kingdom of God. Now here, as often, Jesus uses extreme language to focus our attention on the urgency of what he's doing. This is urgent. Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem to die for sinners. That's all of us. He's set his face to the cross in order to redeem those who can always think of just one more thing that needs to be done before heeding Jesus' call to love one another. This is a single-mindedness of purpose that's prompted by God's profound love for the world, for humanity. In the words of the old spiritual hymn, there's no turning back for those who decide to follow Jesus. And there's an urgency in our journey as we follow Jesus that compels us to see the needs of those for whom God has special care and concern. The poor, the oppressed, the alien in the land, the children, all the vulnerable people around us. And this is an ancient urgency, one that we hear from the very beginning of our scriptures. In Deuteronomy, God said to the chosen ones of Israel, "You shall not deprive a resident alien or an orphan of justice. You shall not take a widow's garment in pledge. Remember, you were a stranger in Egypt, and the Lord your God redeemed you from there. Therefore, I command you to do this." There's an urgency to see these people and to not turn away from them, but rather to turn toward them with God's own loving heart. Bishop Waldo issued a pastoral letter this past week addressing the humanitarian crisis on our southern border. And copies of that letter are on the table over there if you want to take one. or it'll be also attached in HT Notes when it comes to your email this week. I want to share a part of that with you now. The migration crisis on our southern border has created a searing tension within our nation, and more important, within our own souls. Jesus doesn't suggest we show compassion and love. He commands it. Thus, we cannot ignore the suffering of these refugees, many of whom are fleeing violence and deprivation in their home countries. Whether these refugees enter in a legal process toward asylum or citizenship, enter illegally and are caught and held, or caught and deported, we must act within the promises of our baptismal covenant, seeking and serving Christ in each one of those people. Whatever we think about border security, these migrants are our brothers and sisters in the human family. They are neighbors. Most are brothers and sisters in Christ through their baptism. The bishop's letter includes several ways in which you can help alleviate the pain and the suffering of these desperate children of God. I know this is hard. For some of us, this will fly in the face of what we know to be common sense. The way of love is hard. And sometimes it seems like we have to make a choice between reason and mercy. But Jesus has called us to follow him along the way of love. And when we follow the way of love, we have to see the desperate need of our brothers and sisters and not turn away.